This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Representative Jamie Smith from District 15 in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, also House Minority Leader. A few things we want to talk about this week. First of all, I want to start out talking about snow. As you all know, there's more of it coming, okay? And first of all, I want everybody to know that we think the counties and townships have been doing a great job working out there. But as much snow as we've had, there's a lot of counties that have exceeded their budget reserves, and we still have more snow coming, and we still have more to do. So Representative McCleary has been working on a dialogue with the governor to make sure that these excessive, the costs can be helped out. I just want us to keep that in mind, and I also want everybody to thank the people driving those plows out there. All right, we do appreciate what you're doing. You're keeping our roads safe, and so we appreciate that hard work. Second, hemp bill. I know that's going to be a discussion today. I have very brief comments on that. We're glad that it's passed both houses. We are hopeful that the House is going to concur with the Senate amendments on Monday. It's been a really, really long process. But, again, I want to commend one of our House representatives, Orrin Lesmeister. He's worked really, really hard and done things, I believe, in the right way. And it's been a good process, and he's really worked to make sure it's a good bill and a good thing for the state of South Dakota. So I need to give kudos to him. Also want to touch base on another bill, two bills that you'll want to be talking about today, Senate Bill 189 and 190. These have to do with the pipeline and protesters. Frustrated, really frustrated. In order to get those through, they had to suspend the rules. These are big bills. They're big ideas. They need time. People need to take the time to consider them. The process that these bills have gone through is what leads to distrust of government, I believe. I'm really concerned, though, that our Native Americans weren't consulted in this process at all. And I know that Senator Heinert's going to address that more. But, you know, last week we celebrated here with our Native American brothers and sisters in the Capitol. Right? You were here. You covered it. And then we dropped this. Very frustrating. We can do better. Finally, I want to talk about the process working just a little bit. Senate Bill 140 yesterday on the floor. In short, it's a bill that works with the regions and the tribes trying to be able to come together to do some innovative things, perhaps, to try to keep more Native students in our state of South Dakota. And in concept, it's a simple concept. There were some issues that some people had in the House. It flew through the Senate, and then we had a couple people that had some issues, and all of a sudden it just hits a roadblock in the House. We moved to reconsider it. We were able to talk through some of the issues. We were able to make a couple small amendments to the bill and get it through, and it worked. So I want to say that the process does work, and we were able to do that. But I want you to understand how that worked. It was we tried to work with the people we disagreed with, and we tried to come together, have that dialogue and that conversation, and we were able to have a win right there. And that felt really good yesterday. So I want that. And that's what South Dakotans, I believe, want us to do, is work together to do good for the state of South Dakota. And I feel like that happened yesterday on Senate Bill 140. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the senator.
Well, good morning, Senator Troy Heinert, District 26, Mission, Senate Minority Leader. The Senate's been pretty exciting the last couple days. Obviously, with the passage of the hemp bill, I was pleased that finally got through. Hopefully the governor sees the support that's out there and the support in the legislature for this. It's going to be a complete another year before this crop is even in the ground. So we have some time to work through those rules and see what comes out of D.C. as far as the requirements from the USDA. But, I think we're going down the right path with this, and we're smart enough to figure this out. Senate Bill 189 and 190, I couldn't be more disappointed in how these are brought, the language in Senate Bill 189, I think has some constitutional issues. You know, the way it's written, if there was a camp and I donated a load of wood to that camp and said, you know, I support you, and later that turns into a riot, they could go back and say, well, Senator Heiner sent them a load of wood, and he's aiding and abetting them, and they're going to bring civil liabilities against me for something that I believed in, the protection of our environment. You know, I think there's some serious issues with how that's written and how it was dropped on us. This has been in 4 days. We are taking these two bills in 4 days, and not only trying to pass them on the floor of the Senate, trying to send them to the House today. You know, that is not open and transparent. I'm really waiting for somebody in power and in leadership to maybe say, you know what, we need to rethink this for South Dakota. I don't see big protests saying build this pipeline. I see a bunch of people saying don't build it. So maybe we need to take a pause and look at what this really means for us. You know, we have quite a few bills on our calendar today. There's we're going to see the juvenile justice again. I think that's the wrong move. You know, we've defeated it twice already. I guess we'll listen to the arguments. And I don't see putting kids in Department of Corrections as an answer to what these kids need. So I'm all about finding the resources to help troubled kids. I think we can. I think we have the resources available, and we just need to support those counties and those cities to get those kids the help that they need. We don't need to put them in jail. So with that, I'll take your questions.
Just wondering on the 189 and 190, do you think it was intentional to have the hearing on Wednesday when the tribal chairmen were out of state? Do you think that was known when it was scheduled?
I want to believe that it wasn't. I mean, the tribal chairmen are called, you know, to those meetings at moment's notice, depending on what's happening in D.C. So I don't think it was intentional. But, you know, the tribal chairmen did the best they could in the short amount of time. You got to remember, they're running a government and looking out for their people on a daily basis. And when we only give them 4 days to make decisions or try to get their voice heard, you know, that kind of puts them in a bind.
Curious about the example you mentioned of donating a load of wood to a camp. The bill language talks about, you know, encouraging people to commit acts of violence. If you didn't do that, are you concerned that you would still be targeted, or are you more concerned that there's this control idea out there that will make people less likely to give?
Well, I think that's the whole intent of Senate Bill 189, is to really get people to not support people's First Amendment right to free speech. And it's written in such a vague manner. You know, I don't think there's a judge in the world that would convict me for donating a load of wood. But just having to go to court and have that fight, you know, by me exercising my First Amendment right, it's not how this country was founded. I am pleased that they're asking TransCanada to put some money up. I've been trying for 7 years, and I couldn't get anything. So,
is that a phone call?
This is Tom Stever on the phone. May I ask a question, please? I'm with Brownfield Ag News.
Sure.
Yes. A question both for Senator Heinert and Representative Smith. You mentioned the hemp bill. Could either one of you or both of you comment on how that bill, if it's passed and signed, will benefit the farmers of South Dakota?
Well, I think how it's going to benefit it gives them another crop to possibly put in their rotation. Beans and corn aren't worth very much right now. Hemp has a lot of uses. We have other industry in South Dakota that wants to develop products made from hemp. You know, is everybody going to replace their beans and corn with hemp? No. But it gives them a chance to grow a crop that maybe is suitable for their area and, you know, get them into another market that they're currently not in right now.
I guess I would just add that it's another crop for their rotation too, no expert in the field of hemp, but in talking to people, the soils that it will grow in are marginal soils. The things that can be done with hemp are very wide, and when we talk about value-added ag and things like that, I think the industry that can come out of this within our own state is great too. I know that there are people waiting right now that are ready to process hemp here in our state, and I think the more that we can do with the products that we grow in our state and then take it to that next level, I think that helps all of us.
Thank you.
Senator, native language passed yesterday. I saw you very emotional and excited in the House chamber. I'm just wondering what the feeling was and what it meant to both of you.
Well, I've got to thank my House counterparts for getting that through and really thank the members of the House. For a lot of them, you know, it may not be that big a deal, but the emails and the calls and the messages I got after its passage, they were just, the people at home were so pleased to see that we took this up and we were able to get that through. I'm very excited. Hopefully the governor will do a signing ceremony. I know there's a lot of people at home that want to come up and really be part of this history. You know, they came up and testified. They want their kids to have that picture, you know, for the rest of their lives that they've, you know, brought a new course to South Dakota as it pertains to the use and acknowledgement of Indigenous language.
I was really excited to see that pass, and as was my entire caucus, but it was really exciting, the group of second graders that we had in the building, to see your culture. I can only imagine what it's like to see your culture being affirmed. For so long, what we did here in our state and our country was try to deny people that culture. And so to come to the place where we're acknowledging that but also embracing that, that felt really good.
Senator Heinert, could you, expand a little bit more about what you're talking about in getting pipelines to kind of front some money?
So Senate Bill 190 has a bonding requirement for TransCanada and then an annual appropriation. I wish that tribes were included in that language, that they could access those funds. Because a lot of these, the camps and stuff will be located on tribal lands right next to the pipeline. And there could be some cleanup, or if something happens, along that route, it's probably going to end up on tribal land at some point. And right now, tribes wouldn't be able to access those funds. But TransCanada... hasn't, even though they would be, I've heard of one of the largest property taxpayers in the state, you know, those taxes are being paid right now by, or they were being paid prior by the property owners. So it's not this huge windfall that all of a sudden we're getting from TransCanada. I've said all along, you know, we take all the risk for very little reward. And, you know, holding them accountable for coming through our state, I think it's about time we do that.
Related to that, I believe it was Remy Bald Eagle yesterday said that he had some concerns about Senate Bill 190 and the privatization of police. Do you want to reflect on those concerns at all?
Well, and I apologize, I wasn't able to stay for the whole hearing. I had another committee, but you know, I know Mr. Bald Eagle, an extremely smart individual, and there, we are worried about, you know, private security and you know, and possibly even our law enforcement mixing with tribal law enforcement, who, you know, we're trying to police on our own lands. You know, there, that's, I think, one of the issues with these bills is there was no conversation prior to that. You know, all of a sudden, you know, it's just put in our laps, and it's put in the laps of tribal law enforcement officers too, because they don't know what their role is in this. And there could have been that conversation saying, okay, you're going to watch here, and we don't, you watch your guys, make sure they're not breaking the law. We're going to watch our people, make sure they're not breaking the law, and then we can work together. But that's not how this process happened.
One thing about, I was in appropriations yesterday, sitting in for Representative Saba, and was able to be a part of that discussion. And I want to bring up a point that Senator Maher made about trying to add the tribes to that bill. And there was a discussion based upon whether or not in that language, the way it was written, the tribe could be added as they are a sovereign nation. I think there seemed to be a feeling in the room that if we could figure out how to add tribes to that, it would, that might go, but it definitely didn't fit properly in the language as it existed.
Do you think that there's a chance that an amendment could be added today on that?
It very well might be if the language was worked out. I don't have one right now, and I don't know if Senator Heinert has that or not, but
we talked about it. Maybe trying to include this. You know, I was hoping we were going to have open-minded debate, but, you know, from what I hear, they're already talking about, well, when this passes and we send it over to the House. So maybe we should have the debate first to see if it passes.
Assuming passage today, then what?
I think it goes over to the House, and they'll have that debate, and passes there. There's an emergency clause on it, and it's signed, and it's law. And then I think the lawsuits start.
Have you heard of a discussion of a lawsuit? Is that something that's being worked on right now, or is that just...
I've seen a few emails probably looking at the constitutionality, especially of 189. I haven't heard a lot about 190 as far as a lawsuit, but I would suspect we're going to see something along the lines of a lawsuit in 189.
Could you elaborate a bit on exactly what makes 189 unconstitutional?
Well, you know, the Supreme Court has ruled that money is speech, and when you donate or give to a cause, you are exercising your First Amendment right. And what 189 is saying is if you donate, then you could be civilly liable. I think that kind of flies in the face of the First Amendment. You know, we heard talk that this was, you know, these out-of-state groups and, you know, big funders. And, you know, you look at the GoFundMe accounts from Standing Rock, you know, a lot of those were private donations. And a lot of the arrests in North Dakota were South Dakotans. So, it, you know, I think we're going to see
you know, some of the same individuals who are trying to get us to open our eyes to the potential dangers of a oil pipeline coming through South Dakota. So, you know, it's, I don't believe that there is some vast conspiracy from out-of-state groups. You know, for the most part, these are people who just want to protect, you know, the way of life in South Dakota, and a lot of them are South Dakotans. And I don't hear it just from tribal people either. You know, this pipeline goes through the heart of our district or heart of my district, and you know, these are non-Indian ranchers saying, wait a minute, you know, I might have been for this 10 years ago when it first started, but I've changed my mind, and now we're stuck.
You say you've seen emails regarding groups looking into the constitutionality of 189. Can you help us out and divulge any of those groups?
I think they'll probably come out with their, I don't want to, you know, break their confidentiality. They're just kind of reaching out to me saying, you know, what does this really mean? And, you know, I'm by far from a constitutional law professor, so I just kind of give them the layman's terms of how I read it and what I think it means. And, you know, some arguments that we can make on the floor as to why this is unneeded and unnecessary at this time, and how could we come up with a better product than what we have in front of us in 4 days.
When you mention that, making better arguments, can you give us your honest thoughts on what you think the chances are of successfully amending or much less defeating either of these bills?
As you know, we're both members of bodies that have super majorities. So I think if it's something that our friends across the aisle want to do, they'll do it.
I would agree with that. In my argument on the floor today, I'm going to ask them, please listen to the debate, you know, before you make up your mind. Let's have a conversation. I think 190 has a, I think that'll go through fairly easy. 189, I think there are some other, you know, some other people that are saying, wait a minute, let's hit the brakes here a little bit. So hopefully they listen to the debate. You know, they're going to have to vote their conscience and represent their district. We'll just see what happens.
You mentioned about, you know, an out-of-state conspiracy or groups. What about just the general concept? Do you believe that there are people who are paid to come to protest in large numbers?
No. I've heard that. I heard that at Standing Rock. I went up to Standing Rock, and I know some people that were there from the time it started. You know, it's not like they were, you know, here's $50, go to Standing Rock and raise Cain. That's not how that went. I don't think that's going to happen in South Dakota. You know, a vast majority of that money that was raised was to support the camps, you know, whether that be cooking, heating, tents, you know, gas money to and from, you know, setting up a medical tent, you know, so that money is used, I think, in the proper fashion, bailing people out of jail. You know, would that make me civilly liable if I donated, gave somebody $100 and they wanted to go to a camp and then they get arrested and they found out that I gave them $100 for gas money? That's the problem with 189. It is so vague that what does that mean? There's some serious issues with 189. And I've never met George Soros, so.
Just wondering, in the House, you have a Senate Bill 176 today, and it's had three votes already. Just wondering kind of your concerns about that process, or, you know, what's been going on with that bill.
So it will be the third time. There was a rule, and I agree with the there was not an amend. There was not a motion made because it automatically rule kicked in the first revote on that, and so the second motion, the second time we revoted was the real first motion. It's a rule, but it was followed correctly, and there's the right to that process. It's died twice. We'll just see what happens today. It will definitely have had its fair hearing. Let's just say that.
Well, thank you all. We really appreciate the time.
Thank you all.
Have a good day.
And travel safely, please. Maybe we'll see you.